Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whom is found the true wisdom, dear fellow redeemed. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read this time verses 26 through 31. Again, the Apostle Paul writing here, and he says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So a number of years ago, there was a game show on television called Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? I don't know if that show is still on television. You can probably find it somewhere on some channel. Are you familiar with that game show? If you're not, the premise is this. In this game show, there are answers that you, or there's questions you need to answer that are supposedly taken from the textbooks of grade schools that are between the ages of first grade through fifth grade. And if you get the question wrong and are eliminated from the game, the person who is playing is supposed to turn to the camera and shamefully admit that they are not, in fact, smarter than a fifth grader. Well, a number of Christmases ago, when that show was pretty popular, my mom and dad got that version of the game for home. We had a lot of fun playing it, but I will admit that the game is harder than it sounds. You find out very quickly, sometimes you are not, in fact, smarter than a fifth grader. It's a difficult game, especially if you are a long ways removed from fifth grade. Maybe those of you who are in grade school still, or those of you who are grade school teachers, would fare better than I did. For example, let me share with you a few sample questions from the game. Would you know the answers to these questions? A Pony Express rider's last stop heading east was what state? How about this one? Which president's head is right next to Lincoln's on Mount Rushmore? Now, whether or not you know the answers to those questions or not, does that mean you're really not smarter than a fifth grader, or that you are smarter than a fifth grader? Well, who's to say? Part of the problem, of course, is what I stated. It's been a long time since we've been in fifth grade, or in grade school for that matter, for many of us. And also, we have to admit that many of these questions pertain to things that really aren't that important. Things that we would say are listed as trivia. Knowledge that is kind of fun to know, maybe interesting, but essentially useless. Probably not something that's going to affect your everyday life if you don't know which state the Pony Express went to the furthest east in our country, or whose head is next to Lincoln's on Mount Rushmore. Not important, of course, unless you are on this game show with a chance to win up to $1 million, or you are battling your family for those all-important family bragging rights. Then it's really important. Our text for this morning does not speak about wisdom that is trivial or useless or unimportant. It actually speaks about a type of wisdom and knowledge that is the most important type of wisdom anyone can have. It's a wisdom that, by God's grace, He has actually given to each one of us, a wisdom that comes to us through His Holy Spirit. That wisdom is a wisdom that you know and probably have known from little on, the knowledge of His Son, Jesus Christ, that He is, in fact, our Savior from sin. Verse 30 of our text, Paul says this about Jesus Christ: He is the one whom God made our wisdom. And if you remember the words from our second scripture reading from today, he also called Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is the third in our series of Epiphany sermons on Jesus being revealed. And today we see Jesus revealed then as the wisdom of God. Compared to all other types of wisdom and knowledge, this wisdom from God makes all other wisdom seem insignificant. Makes it actually seem pretty trivial. Now let's be clear. It doesn't mean that other types of wisdom aren't important. They are very important, especially for our everyday lives. There are types of wisdom and knowledge that are very useful, very good for this life. Wisdom that we need to perform our jobs properly, to know what to do as a spouse, or as a parent, as a pastor or a teacher. Things that could be useful for our career now or for a future career. Think of how important and how useful, how essential at times, some of the wisdom and knowledge that doctors have, or nurses have. Wisdom that teachers have, professors, researchers. Wisdom of those who work in technology fields. Auto mechanics, plumbers, builders, farmers, even government officials. Those are very important types of wisdom and knowledge that we see put to use on a daily basis that bless us and bless others around us. We do, in fact, need a certain amount of wisdom and a certain kind of knowledge to properly go about our daily lives, to operate and function properly, and just do our daily tasks. But what the world around us tries to convince us of, and what our flesh often tries to convince us of, is that this wisdom of the world, this wisdom of man, is in fact the greatest and highest wisdom that there is. Or that somehow by worldly wisdom or by man's wisdom, we will somehow fix and solve all of the problems that plague us. If we just had more education or more knowledge or more science, we could solve all the world's problems. In fact, what you find sadly to be true is that some of the best and brightest, the most learned people on the planet often scoff at the one true wisdom, the wisdom of God. And many of them consider it to be foolishness. And they consider those like you and me who do rely on this wisdom of Christ, they consider us to be simple-minded and foolish as well. Our scripture reading from 1 Corinthians spoke about these types of things. It said in verse 18, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing." For all its impressiveness, for all its practicality and usefulness, the wisdom of this world has its limits. It has its limits and will eventually all come to an end. Those diplomas, those degrees that hang on our walls, which we worked so hard for and studied so hard for, they will eventually become obsolete or forgotten. They will fade. The skills and understanding that people train so hard for in their jobs and careers will eventually come to an end, either at retirement or maybe come to an end at the end of their lives. All knowledge and all wisdom will eventually come to an end. All wisdom and knowledge of this world, that is. It is all temporary. Paul wrote in our scripture reading for today, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" Man's wisdom does have its serious limitations. Especially when you consider the fact that for all of man's wisdom and its greatness and its impressiveness, it cannot answer some of the most definitive and most important questions of life. Who are we? Where do we come from? Where are we going? And how do we get there? Man can guess at these things, can look into these things, can try their best to figure these things out, but in man's foolishness, it cannot compare to the wisdom of God that does answer these questions. Only the wisdom of God can truly answer these questions for us, and He has answered those questions for us in His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God and the Word of God made flesh. Again, hear the words from Paul from our scripture reading. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In reality, then, those of us who are simple-minded in the eyes of the world are actually among the wisest people on the planet. Not because we're somehow smarter or greater than the wisest people in this world. When I look around at our congregation, I see people who are extremely intelligent. I see people who are very talented, people who've been blessed greatly with gifts from God. But there are people in the world who are much more intelligent than us, wiser than us, more powerful, more influential than those of us who are gathered here. And Paul alludes to that fact in our sermon text when he says, "For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you, not many of us, are wise according to worldly standards. Not many are powerful. Not many are of noble birth." We're also not somehow better or even more apt to understand and believe this great wisdom from God as those who are the worldly wise. We're not better, we're not smarter, we're not greater, but it was revealed to us completely and totally by God's grace. The undeserved love of God who showed to us his power and his wisdom in Jesus Christ. And reveal that to us through his word and his Holy Spirit. Again, Paul writes in our text, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." So are you, in fact, smarter than a fifth grader? Maybe. Maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Maybe you wouldn't be able to answer the question, how many of the seven continents begin with the letter A? There's four. Asia, Antarctica, Africa, and Australia. Or, if you were traveling down the River Nile, which direction would you be traveling? You'd be traveling north. I cheated. I have the answers to these questions in my manuscript. If you have a manuscript in front of you, you would know the answers to those two trivia questions and the previous two that I'm sure you were thinking the whole sermon, what is the answer to those two trivia questions? The answer to the Pony Express question was the state that is furthest east in the Pony Express was Missouri. And the president's head next to Lincoln on the Mount Rushmore Memorial is Theodore Roosevelt. Trivial questions. Not important. In the grand scheme of things, you might have learned something interesting in that part of the sermon, but it's probably not going to affect your day too much. The question that does need to be asked, however, is do you know Jesus? By the grace of God, I pray that all of us would be able to answer that question with a confident yes. If you know Jesus by faith, then you do know the answers to the great questions of life. Who are we? Well, the Bible answers that question for us again in Jesus Christ. Through the death of Jesus on that horrible yet wonderful cross, we are forgiven. Through faith in Jesus, then, we are children of God. That's who we are. Where did we come from? The Bible tells us very clearly, we are the unique and special creations of God, designed and fashioned by his hand. Where are we going, and how do we get there? Again, the Bible tells us the good news, that we are headed for heaven itself because Jesus has made us God's own children and has guaranteed us eternal life with him through his resurrection from the dead. Those questions and the answers to those questions are beyond the scope of any fifth grader and beyond the scope of any mind of man for that matter. And yet, miraculously and graciously, they have been revealed to you and to me through the Holy Spirit. through that word of God that the Spirit uses to give us that wisdom from God. By His grace, we've been able to answer those questions by faith, probably from the time we've been able to sing songs like, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." That is true wisdom. The wisdom of God in Jesus Christ, which will make you wise for this life and into eternity. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.